thank you for this opportunity. Listeners, thank you for listening, for engaging. And one last plug, June 11th, go vote, text all your friends, make sure they vote as well. It's incredibly important.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and on the local FM Franklin area radio dial 102.9. Here today in the studio with our school committee chair, Dave Callahan. Dave, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. We're hot off the heels of the strawberry stroll.
I know, we did some strolling up and down.
We did. It was a fantastic day, beautiful weather. And so we broke down the school committee booth about like 30 minutes ago, and now another episode of Chalkboard Chats.
Indeed, and there's a bunch to chat about, so.
There is. The strawberry stroll was the high point, I think, what to chat about. There's a lot of...
Serious business.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
This week has been past couple of weeks.
Past couple of weeks, for sure.
As we're leading up to June 11th.
June 11th.
Override vote. The whole community rightfully kind of wanted to know, what's being cut, what's at stake, and, what's the reality going to look like if we vote yes and if we vote no. And so much of this week has kind of been culminating to bring exactly that.
Because it takes time to figure out between, contractual requirements and then people's professional status and people's choices. Depending upon who you move and or have to remove the position, it doesn't necessarily affect the person per se. They can bump somebody else in kind of that legal world, et cetera. And, you may have targeted conversations, say 10 positions, but effectively kind of the dominoes affect 20. Not that they're all going out the door, but the position changes affect 20.
Exactly. And that's where, there was 37 positions, 37 professionals that were told that they no longer have a job here at Franklin, contingent upon the outcome of the override.
Right.
One of those the music program at the middle school is being devastated. But what's ended up happening is a lot of those teachers are kind of going and bumping out the teachers at the high school.
Right.
And so you're really seeing it at both of the levels, that where the high school is still maintaining a lot of the music programs that they currently have.
Right.
Well, maybe you might have had that your kid had that favorite teacher, but because the middle school is, getting reduced and practically almost eliminated, that they're going in there bumping everybody else up at the high school and just causing disruption all over the place.
Right.
And again, a lot of this disruption, all the letters that went out, did state, it is kind of contingent upon the override, because the positions that were cut, the programs that were eliminated, aren't due to enrollment based reductions.
Right, because there are two kinds of categories. This one clearly is the cut. Well, the override assumption, you've got a budget, the override may give you more. But if the override doesn't give you more, you've got to live with what you've got.
Exactly, because we know that the town administrator gave his allocation. Town council approved it, and what they approved, it's the highest allocation in Franklin history.
Mm-hmm.
But it still just doesn't cover the cost of what we need to be able to stabilize a budget.
Correct. In terms of that, strive to maintain as much as possible of that portrait of a graduate, maintaining class sizes, which we've talked about in prior episodes as well, and certainly the superintendent and others at various meetings have been mentioning that.
Right, because right now with a failed override, like the 37 positions cut, you're going to be looking at about elementary schools around like 24 kids. And that's
beginning. That's an average.
It's on average, exactly.
Right.
And
right.
As of the beginning of the school year.
Correct.
There's always families that start to kind of move in that bump it up. Usually, you see like two or three.
Right.
When you start out at maybe like 18, 19 and you get three kiddos in, it's still a manageable classroom. You're starting at 24, and you're halfway through the school year. Now you're at 27.
Mm-hmm.
It's families are gonna feel it. Mm-hmm. Kids are obviously gonna feel it, and the teachers are gonna.
In certain situations, absolutely. Because my wife, who has spent 20 years in kindergarten, she's now retired. But yeah, she's had some cases where she started out at 21 and ended up with 24, and with only a part-time aide. 24 kindergartners is a handful. Yeah. Parents can think about one or two or three.
No, I know. Donna Grady was on.
Absolutely.
I was listening to her, and mm-hmm. she was talking about, yeah, just the repetition that goes involved. And just in
because they need that school orientation. Some came from, you know, various pre-kindergarten. Some came from kind of a daycare. Some came from just a home. So you've got to now bring in all of them and give them some school routine. And that takes time.
It takes time. And if you're at 24, 25, 26, and you're just trying to get them to line up in a straight line just so they can kind of go from your class over to, mm-hmm. To the next special, that takes a lot of repetition that Donna had mentioned. Other kindergartners will say the same. But when you have such high class numbers, especially at the beginning, it's right. going to be,
yeah,
it's going to be disastrous. And when they talk about some of the specials that, from to go to, library is one of the specials, but with the 37 positions that would have to be cut, there's talks that at the elementary school they might be closing libraries on certain days of the week,
right?
Because we can't afford to staff an individual,
and that's even a non-librarian certified position to begin with,
right? Yeah, that, and this is something that's been. Thankfully, that it's been talked about a bit more. That where right now we have no certified librarians in any of the Franklin Public Schools,
mm-hmm.
and especially at the high school, that when we're going to get knocked for basically not be accredited,
kind of warning status at least.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of a librarian, because it is needed,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to impact kiddos when they start to apply to colleges, when they look and they say, well, Franklin provides a great education. Franklin has amazing athletics, mm-hmm. and the arts and everything else like this, but this NEASC accreditation is something that colleges are going to be looking at.
Sure.
And so, but. Yeah, again, at the elementary levels, it's not a certified librarian, and it's a wonderful ESP, a paraprofessional. Mm-hmm. It's still a wonderful individual, but can't even afford them 5 days a week.
Tough times indeed, but we'll get through it somehow. After the vote, we'll find out, and then you'll get to make the decisions, and we'll figure out what we need to do there.
Yeah, and that's why I really just it was I've been walking around, I've been calling people, texting people, mm-hmm. and just to try to just get out the vote, and if you haven't there's a number of individuals had voted early, but if you hadn't been a block of that, June 11th at the high school, you can kind of go and
right.
vote, and I strongly recommend everybody to do so.
Yeah.
I think historically it's around 40%.
40%. Yeah, so it should be about 9,600 thereabouts, because we've got 24,000 odd registered voters. So people can do the math, 24,000 times 40%. Should be about 9,600 thereabouts. We've already got 3,700 voters per town clerk as of midday Wednesday. So, that's one third of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's good, but we still need 6,000 plus people to come through the door on Tuesday, and hopefully there'll be more than 6,000.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, because to the extent that as much as, and granted, there's been a bunch through social, there's been some public places, but the senior center one certainly created a lot. There's been a lot of attendance at the meetings. So between the FinComs, the budget hearings, the town council budget hearings, your school committee meetings, for somebody in the school family situation, if they're not aware, something's happening. I mean, granted, the social world there's so many demands for attention. If the message didn't get through and you're in the social world, with kids in schools and or school age, something's happening there. Somebody asked me even in the strawberry stroll today, how do we improve getting the message out? If I had that answer, I'd probably be the rich guy. But, and I think I've said in other cases, as I see it, there's kind of like three buckets of people for simplicity. And obviously, the generalizations. But clearly that school age bucket, families, roughly, maybe 3,000 families. In Franklin, of 8,000 units, there's 3,000 families with school age kids. Between the school programs, the rec programs, the other youth programs, there should be some communication there. There should be some awareness. On the high end, age-wise, you got 13 to 15 to 20% that are the seniors, you know, 50 plus, who have access to the senior center. So there should be some communication going out through there to reach them. The key is going to be in that kind of middle, and I'll still use kind of the term double income, no kids. So it may not, there may be another term today, I'm not aware of it, but if they've got a mortgage and the mortgage is paid through, or the taxes are paid through the mortgage, and if they already have passport, unless something happens with kind of the sewer service or the road surface or the plowing, they don't necessarily have an interaction with the town. They can go about their business and have no interaction with the town. How do we reach them? That's really the question. And other than through kind of the social channels, and some people are on social, we know, some people are not, then social establishments like, you know, the bars and the restaurants, but then how do you raise that kind of awareness in those situations? It's not necessarily appropriate to do so.
Are you saying we should take this on the road and do chalkboard chats at the bar next episode?
You know, I've seen some, you know, literally coach chats from the high school in a bar somewhere. It's possible.
But it's definitely, yeah, there's going to be folks that, yeah, are unaware. And mm-hmm. I think there's also going to be folks, even in some of those buckets, who maybe they heard about it on the periphery, but they're not totally sure.
Not fully aware.
And right. That's why I'm telling all of my friends,
yep.
You know, go and I know one Franklin was like text your five. I've been seeing them kind of mm-hmm. promote that, and I love that. And it's basically just go, and if you see, you know, you got five friends, go and shoot out a message, because, you know, maybe a few of them are going to be in that middle bucket.
Sure.
And so I think everybody needs to kind of be aware that, yeah, this is not by any means a guarantee.
No.
You know, yeah, not only do you got to go and you got to vote on the 11th, but you got to go and make sure that every single one of your friends mm-hmm. goes and gets out there and votes as well, because they might not be aware that it's happening. Mm-hmm. They might not be aware of the issues or the impact.
Right.
Too.
Right. And I think certainly you've touched on the impact side from a school perspective. Between the town page, the school budget page, the town budget page, various audios that we've shared, various meeting recordings are out there. There are opportunities for somebody to ask questions and get questions answered, even if it's the short story. Just give me what the impact is. It's available. Mm-hmm. People are certainly, the counselor's available. I know you and other school committee members said, just call me. We'll talk. We'll find out. But find out and then cast an informed vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And know, too, that all the information that is out there that we've been kind of talking about, like the increases from busing, you know, up to $500 per kid, or, you know, if you're looking, if you have a high school that plays football, from $250 to $1,000 a season.
Right.
This information, it's not scare tactics. It's scary facts, but it's just done to say, if, as people wanted to know, and as they should,
mm-hmm.
if this override fails, what's, you know, we know what it's going to cost you if you vote yes.
Correct.
What is it going to cost you if you vote no?
Yes.
And there's a whole bunch of qualitative costs that are
mm-hmm.
coming in there. All the programs that are going to be lost, some of the favorite teachers
sure.
are going to be lose. But there's quantitative too. You're
yeah.
going to be paying more to ride the bus. You're going to be paying more to send mm-hmm. your kid to play sports. We're introducing, we may have to introduce parking fees for the first time over at the high school.
Right.
And so, but there's a lot of information out there, and it's not to scare people, it's just to inform them, and it's just a God's honest truth.
And then they
truth.
Can run the numbers. I know there was at least one woman at, I think it was the joint meeting, town council, school committee at the high school, who did the math, and at that time she had, I think it was three kids, and between buses and sports, it was, you know, some number clearly double or triple what the increase to her taxes on an annual basis would be.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to have to run those numbers for their situations. They may vary, clearly. But I think given the costs of the sports in particular and the busing, two or three kids, it's going to be up there. And, you know, they're just going to have to do the math and figure out and choose what they want.
Yeah.
Because it comes down to a value judgment. What do we, because I think that quote has been said before, school budget and town budget really is what we value.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's when you look at the values, even if it's when you just kind of even if you're just doing the math yourself and you say, well, you know, I don't have a kid who plays football, or I don't do this or that. And it was Councilor DeLorco kind of spoke about this when he said, you know, he saw the student fees because we presented a town council. And he's like, you know what? I could pay for my kid to play football. But I know that my kid's got friends whose parents couldn't do that.
Correct.
And so it's like, so am I going to go and say it's okay just because I can afford it, knowing that there's going to be a lot of great kids out there who can't afford to be able to play football?
Affordability clearly is the number one issue that we're having to face as a town in a variety of ways. And this clearly is one of those where people are going to have to decide. Mm-hmm. What do they value and what can they afford to value as well? Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be, I'm not sure how much sleep I'm going to get over these next 4 days.
Hope you get
days.
Enough at least so that you can have a clear head when we start figuring out what the future looks like.
Yeah. And, I got a clear head about if it goes yes, I know exactly. It's looking good. I like what we have because, you know, we'll be able to maintain the amazing programs that we have, but we also got a lot of big changes too, and a lot of exciting changes with, you know, the consolidation and the restructuring of schools. Yeah. And again, to be clear, this is happening. The changes to the public school system, kind of like the model that we have, you know, having all these elementary schools, kind of just down to effectively just two elementary schools and one middle, regardless of the vote on the 11th, it's still moving forward.
Right.
And so I know some folks have kind of said, well, what if we vote no, maybe our kids won't have to be redistricted. No.
Totally separate decisions. And I know my colleague Jay Harrigan and I spent almost 2 hours going through dozens of questions trying, and that was one of the key ones. I mean, as much as he didn't want to focus on redistricting, it just kept coming back in the discussion. But yeah, they are two separate pieces. Mm-hmm. And the quick summary is, other than going back and listening to that, they're two separate ones, but this positions the district for the future in terms of delivering quality education, whatever that turns out to be, in the most efficient and economical way, which is what's something we all need to do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a really exciting new, you know, like what we're looking to do. It's big, it's ambitious, but we also have, you know, two full summers to be able to kind of go and incorporate this, because nothing's going to happen until fall of 25. But
correct,
we did just have our last meeting of the comprehensive facility subcommittee, where Lucas had, I believe it should be on the website now already. If it's
I've
not.
Already shared that doc as well.
Perfect.
With the recap and the audio.
Because, you know, as we were voting on to kind of move forward with this, Lucas laid out the framework, and he had, you know, phase one, phase two, phase three, and, you know, just over the next, at the time, like about 16 months. But so he gave us a great update about phase one.
Which is just through June.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Phase one of this is just through June. Then there's a phase one part of July and August, I think.
Correct. Yeah. So this is but an update just to kind of be able to, we want to make sure that everybody understands, you know, this is moving.
Yeah.
And one, it's moving regardless of the vote on the 11th, but also that for people who are cautious and worried about how much is involved, like, you know, how much will they be able to make traction?
Right.
There's a lot of traction already being made. I think there's going to be principals for the North and South will be announced to the public probably just next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have all the assistant
shortly
APs.
Thereafter.
Exactly. They want to kind of get that first structure out.
Yep.
And but they also kind of share the overall structure of, like, at the middle school, we're going to have one principal, but then three APs, assistant principals, which is going to be perfectly aligned. We have
at least
sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Kind of a grade level. Yeah.
Exactly. But then they also had like a special program administrator as well. And then over at the North and the South, they'll kind of mirror with a principal for K-2 and an assistant principal K-2, and then same on the other side.
Yeah, so functionally, it's really going from five separate elementary schools, buildings and staff, to four schools in two buildings, right? So 4-2, 5-2, really, from a building perspective. But then really five principal sets down to four. So there is some economy there. There's going to be some movement in the chairs. Hopefully the right people end up in the right spots anyway. We'll figure out what those are. But then on the middle school level, you've got three complexes effectively becoming one complex. And yes, the math has been done and will reinforce that, yes, the three schools can fit and grow in the one building, just like the other two schools, well, two buildings, four schools, can grow within the buildings based upon the projections for the foreseeable future, which is, what, 10 years at a minimum.
Exactly, yeah. Because that was a big thing. We really wanted to make sure, all right, we're not, I don't want to just make little half measures or, you know, rip one Band-Aid off and then leave the other one for a couple of years later. So everything that's being happening is really should allow, you know, this full growth over the next 10 years without big mix, you know, big changes.
And to be clear, too, at least we talk about growth. I mean, the decline comes and then it comes back a little bit. It comes back to 4,700. Not to 5,000, not to 6,000. It only comes back, which I think we're only at 46 right now. So it doesn't come back much more than where we're at.
No, it really doesn't. It just, it effectively just starts to kind of level off moving forward. And which is, you know, I mean, I know we've talked about this before. With, I mean, in terms of, you know, what properties are available, you hear all the time about affordability for, you know, within Franklin for young families. But so when we look at it, it's like, now this is what we got. And so we want to be able to make sure that we can kind of the changes that we're making will be able to maintain the educational students that we have for those next 10 years.
And
that's what we're looking at. That's what the plan is. So they'll already kind of have that administrative structure, be able to kind of get a lot of those principals to contact the families over the summer, which is going to be great. But again, for those listening, all of these changes will not come into effect until the fall of 2025. So if your kid goes to Kennedy today, make sure to drop them off at school at Kennedy in the
September
fall.
24. Yeah, and then I think from the meeting, it's still on a timeline for sometime September, October for you at the school committee to get kind of where the lines are actually going to get drawn. They're still kind of modeling, and they showed some pre-models, if you will, in terms of trying to match. And I think there's, what, four different categories where certainly – population equivalency, but then some of the demographics, some of the, you know, learning levels, English language, you know, demographic type statistic pieces to try and truly make equitable populations within the buildings as much as possible.
Exactly, yeah, which I thought I was thrilled when I saw some of these models come on out because you can draw a line on the map and then just say, all right, well, this one over here has 900, this one over here has 890, call it a day, it's close enough.
Right.
But yeah, to take a look at all those different factors, just so that way you're not going to have, you know, North Elementary that, you know, has, you know, is predominantly, say, you know, like all low income, and then South Elementary that has a higher income, or you have one as English as a second language.
It's not fair to all the people.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be able, and it's, just to kind of provide that a very diverse but equitable school across both, you know, towns.
Right, right.
And so they are looking into that as well as part of the equation. And the other one, too, I know this has been a big discussion point, but they've already identified the Davis Thayer kiddos. Because there were those who had moved in, they went to Davis Thayer and they kind of moved immediately thereafter over to Keller and now may be redistricted as well as going into the fifth grade in the fall of 2025. And so they've already kind of isolated those kiddos and we are looking at that and about kind of just what we can do just so that way they're not disrupted again and again and again over their elementary school years.
Yeah, and then for the rest of the Davis Thayer crew. So if they were in, say, fifth grade now, but they're going into 6, 7, 8, they're going to go to middle school anyway. So, yeah, there may still be some changes there, but that can be avoided.
Exactly. It's really just going to be, I think they were in kindergarten, I believe it was just two classrooms. So it's just two classes that will now kind of be going into fifth grade that have been disrupted multiple times.
Right.
So we are just kind of just being cognizant of that. And yeah, Dr. Rogers announced they already did pull that. They know exactly where they are, so that as we start to build the lines, we can kind of work with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the other piece related to that, clearly there was a bunch of folks who seemingly were unaware, concerned, surprised, whatever, they were across the spectrum. But the opportunity for them to be involved in some of at least the subcommittee slash workshops, et cetera, as the details finally get worked out. So once the principals and assistant principals, then the implementation plan, once the alignments are set, then that school culture and building and the detailed implementation plan for each of the schools is going to need to get defined. Those people should come back because then they can have a say to make sure it's done properly for the betterment of everybody.
Absolutely. And so, and we have, I'm sure we'll kind of post it from the show notes, but we got a link with a Google form where you can kind of
volunteer.
Go and volunteer in.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's you'll see there's three kind of categories, like what are you interested in? Obviously it's going to be much more expansive, but we figured at least initially
start simple.
Exactly. And then we'll kind of expand from there. But I've also had individuals kind of reach out directly to, that one of them, I can't remember if we mentioned this in the show before, but she has an artistic background, and she offered to volunteer to draw a mural at one of the new schools. And I was like, you know what? How wonderful could this be? A brand new mural kind of incorporating all three cultures. This is, over at North, but that has, like the the Kennedy Ladybugs, Apartment of Pandas, and they got the Hawks over there at Keller. And so there's a lot of great individuals out there in the community, and so that we want to be able to kind of help pull them in, and so they can help us along this way too.
Right, because I know there are some folks with whether financial or logistics backgrounds or business planning that have offered as well. So, and we need those skills, and certainly an artistic one. And at some point in time, depending upon the school mascots may change. Mm-hmm. So now there's another artistic, creative opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just there's. It really is an exciting moment once we get past June 11th.
To build a new Franklin.
Exactly. And but while also being cognizant of the past and where each of these kids came from.
Right.
Because what we're really looking to do with these new two elementary schools and the middle school as well, but yeah, I know a lot of the focus and a lot of the is with the little ones, but to make sure that each have their own new, unique identity.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it's not just, the Parmenter kids kind of moving into Remington Jefferson and just kind of accepting, this is just who we are now.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Instead, just kind of say, no, you are in this case, the South School. And here's the identity for the South School. Here's the mascot for it. Here's your colors. And have that whole community come together to build that. And I think it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Some new opportunities that otherwise wouldn't typically have.
Right.
You just go to this school and you're a panda, you're a ladybug, you're an acorn.
Yeah.
Now to be able to put your fingerprints on that is pretty fun.
Yeah, and I'll take the moment to put the plug in as well that aside from the schools doing, quote, their master planning, literally the town's master plan is about to come out. So June 12th, there's a public hearing. They're starting to reveal their goals and objectives. And I heartily endorse everybody to at least be aware, because those goals and objectives should be reviewed and looked at and maybe tweaked, because those are the goals and objectives that are going to set the charter for what Franklin should be doing in the next 10 years. And if, oh, by the way, however we got to this problem, let's try to plan better to avoid it the next time. And we have that opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
It's here.
I know in the last one, I remember reading in terms of the school budget, they kind of talked about, like a certain percentage, a threshold. They never wanted the schools to kind of go under. And they were able to keep to that. But then, there are other ways in which you can kind of say, well, this is where we want the schools to be able to grow or thrive or just stabilize.
Right.
And just provide some consistency. And so, a lot of the decisions are going to be made over the next, for them to finalize over the next couple of months, have long-term impacts for all of Franklin.
Correct. Because I know, especially from a school relation, people are talking about transportation, they're talking about busing, they're talking about walkability, et cetera, because, kiddos from one school now going to kind of the northern school, it may not, or even the southern school, it may not be exactly in their neighborhood. it's a change in a mindset. But there's also a practical matter that, yay, some of the streets only have one sidewalk. Some don't have sidewalks, right? So that's the situation we have. And the town is, as a whole, is going to have to really look at how are we going to do that, right? How can we improve our roads, our sidewalks, our bikeways, you know, pathways, et cetera? And that comes out of the master plan. How do we develop the green space? That comes out of the master plan. Right. So the school, your school master plan is actually a piece of the town master plan because it's part of the facilities. And oh, by the way, I think it's been quoted and Mike D'Angelo has mentioned a few times, Jamie has mentioned a few times, of the 1.3 million square feet that facilities manages on the town's behalf, 1 million of them are school facilities.
we got a big footprint here in town.
Can't be avoided. And oh, by the way, it's changing slightly with the two schools. Really, a whole bunch of changes, but Parmenter and Kennedy being the most significant ones. Mm-hmm. Futures to be determined there as well. No decisions have been made yet. And I know people are out there talking about Parmenter being a police station. The Police Station Building Committee just chose its OPM, the owner project manager. They still need to determine an architect. They still need to do a design. They still need to do a location analysis. Yes, it is possible Parmenter, because it now is available, would be a good site, but they wouldn't necessarily need the whole site, which also came up at the Senior Center conversation. So there's more. There were no preset decisions. Decisions still need to be made. And oh, by the way, yes, you can be involved in some cases to help make those decisions or at least be aware of what's going on. So there's a lot still to be done.
There is. And, yeah, when we kind of went, you know, well, we closed both of those schools. Or, within the plan, there's been a lot of talk, and I love this idea with Kennedy kind of remaining open and active. It can be utilized for both ECDC, but also as a daycare center for teachers. And so it's a I know a couple of other communities do this where the teachers are able to kind of go. They'll still pay, but at a great price.
Right.
And so it's some revenue into us, but then also it's a great teacher, you know, retention and recruitment model.
Right.
But they can kind of go drop their kiddos off and still be ladybugs over at the Kennedy School then pick them up at the end of the day when they're done teaching the rest of the Franklin kiddos. And so, but Parmenter, we didn't have plans for when we kind of went to make the vote for this new model. Mm-hmm. Kennedy we do, though.
And it'll still be some time because you'll have to go through the full OMOL decommissioning, reutilize whatever's in there physically, any of the equipment, desks, chairs, yada, 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 yada. And then at some point you'll make that final determination to call it, quote, surplus and then turn it back to the town. But that's the process. There's no timeline that I know of for that.
No, and that's not. It will be coming up just as it did with Davis Thayer. There's a new committee and there's a policy all surrounding it. We're not there. We haven't even talked about that at any point in time. Because right now it's...
You've got a few other things on their plate.
Really haven't looked past June 11th. June 12th right now and beyond is a bit of a black hole. But once we get past that, there will be other discussions. But really, it's just right now just to be able to try to stabilize the schools with this override vote on June 11th. But then also utilizing this time to make sure that we do implement this restructuring so that way in fall of 25, kiddos are coming into a brand new, amazing, new atmosphere.
Right. Whatever the budget can afford for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Deep breath. A lot of work to be done. Hopefully the vote. Well, the vote will be what the vote will be. Hopefully the vote numbers will be good in terms of the total turnout. That's all I can hope for. And then the voters will have their say, and you'll have to make some decisions, and then town council will have to make some decisions as well, and we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, thank you for taking time to help explain in this chalkboard chat, because, yeah, it's been rather... challenging the last couple of days, if not weeks, couple of months. Thank you.
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you for this opportunity. Listeners, thank you for listening, for engaging, and One last plug, June 11th, go vote, text all your friends, make sure they vote as well. It's incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. And quick reminder for the listeners, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.